We have, most of us, at one time or other, had some experience in curious coincidences, mere matters of accident, which have fallen out so strangely as to wear the appearance of a forelaid scheme, coincidences which have given rise in men's minds to the idea of destiny, fate, or whatever we may please to call it, coincidences which, be they what they may, have without doubt been the basis of all superstition from time immemorial. Presentiments, in a measure, are common to everybody, and even the most matter-of-fact individual may occasionally be swayed by them, in spite of himself. Now, I flattered myself that I was one of these same individuals. I laid claim to no superfluous imaginations and fancies. I was no believer in ghosts or spirit-rapping. Yet I leave it for others to judge whether what I'm about to tell is, or is not, to be accounted for by purely natural laws, worked out by a chance combination of time, place, and circumstance. Ever since I can remember, it had been our habit to spend Christmas with our old friends, the Sequins, generally at their seat called the Bower, not far from the principal town of a celebrated hunting county, about 100 miles from London. It was a picturesque and thorough specimen of a time-honoured manor house, with scarcely a room, corridor, or passage that had not a legend of some kind attached to it. The family, too, was one of the most ancient in England, and many were the tales connected with the daring deeds performed and the knightly prowess displayed by its ancestors. My father and old Sir George Sequin were contemporaries, and had religiously kept up the custom, which, I believe, had been even handed down to them by their fathers, of always dining together on Christmas Day. From them, Godfrey Sequin and I had again inherited the idea that things would go extremely wrong if the festive season was not spent in each other's company. He particularly had strong opinions on the point, and his anxiety that nothing should interfere with the custom sometimes bordered upon the superstitious. Heirs to the jovial and kindly feelings of our fathers, we had carefully maintained this principle, but as long ago my circumstances had so far changed as to render it impossible for me to entertain Godfrey and his wife in anything like their own style of living, the hospitality had been all on his side, and it had become a settled plan that we should go down to the Bower for a fortnight every Christmas. I had been married some few years, when, just before one of these much-looked-forward-to expeditions, my wife was taken suddenly but not dangerously ill, and there seemed every probability of our good old custom being broken through for the first time. The doctors pronounced it madness for her to think of taking a journey in the state of health she then was. Letters passed to and fro between the Bower and Bloomsbury Square. Devices and suggestions for surmounting the difficulty arose on both sides. I was to go with one of my girls, the other to remain with her mother. Sir Godfrey and Lady Sequin were to come to us. Some plan must be adopted, if possible, to prevent our being separated at Christmas. I did not myself feel the absolute necessity of this, but the Sequins held strong opinions about it. It would be terribly unlucky. We ought not to break through the rule whilst there was the slightest chance of maintaining it. Godfrey was even more urgent than his wife, and his letters had in them almost an imploring tone, bespeaking, as I fancied, an over-anxiety and fear that something dire might happen if I failed to occupy my usual seat at his Christmas table. Affairs remained in this uncertain state until within a few days of the 25th of December, when my wife, having somewhat recovered, settled the difficulty by deciding, with that combined spirit of self-sacrifice and determination which some women display in emergencies, that considering Godfrey's earnest wish, I ought to go down alone for a day or two at least. Her kind heart at once led her to set aside all her own feelings on the matter. She could not bear to think that my friend's happiness should be interfered with by any dislike she might feel at being left alone at such a time. She said that she should become quite superstitious herself if she were to cause the breach of this old established custom. "After all," she continued, "what is it but a few days' absence? I should think nothing of it at any other season, and it is only imagination which leads one to attribute more importance to it just now. And I, you know, have very little imagination, whilst your friend Godfrey and his wife are made up of it." Reluctantly, then, I settled to go. I say reluctantly, for the moment I had consented, a strange and unusual feeling of depression came upon me.